absolutely ready.
It's nice to have all sorts of available seating, you know this. If you can't find a seat, it's your fault. All right, Kathy. All right, Sharon, do your thing.
Trustee Robert Boy, sorry. Trustee Wheeler Coleman.
He's here.
Thank you.
Save time, is that what it is? Thank you.
Trustee Anthony Iasco. Trustee Robert Marshall.
Okay.
Trustee Mark Strauss.
Here.
Student Trustee Elliot Eccles.
Here.
UOT Chair John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir. Thank you.
Mr. Brady, verification?
Appropriate notices of this meeting have been provided by the university.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Approved. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the August 29, 2013 CAL committee meeting?
So moved.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Thank you. I'd like to welcome the University Advisory Committee members and thank you for coming to a late afternoon meeting, Alan. and Deborah, where are you, Deborah? Oh, there you are. Thank you. Thank you both for being here. And anything you'd like to add to this this committee meeting? I understand the feeling. Thank you. Deborah, anything you'd like to add? Okay. Thank you. As a reminder, this committee will cover four functional areas, and talk about CAL, compliance, ethics, audit, risk management, and legal affairs. And in order to provide sufficient opportunity to cover each of these functional areas, it is our intention to highlight one area for discussion and to rotate the discussion for each meeting, so that we'll cover eventually all four areas. I'm hopeful that we'll also be able to provide an opportunity to discuss the other functional areas as needed, or as requested by any of the committee members. So the focus of this meeting will be internal audit. At this time, in our agenda, this is, if I may recognize members of the public, Greg, any requests?
We have received no requests.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to introduce Ms. Danielle Schultz, our Director of Internal Audit, who will give a presentation on the roles and responsibilities of the Internal Audit Division of Northern Illinois University. Danielle, please. Danielle, we're going to show the rest of the committee seat about how we do things quickly and explicitly.
Actually, I was asked to not report on the roles and responsibilities at this time, that we'll do that at the next meeting. However, one of the requirements that I have from the State Internal Audit Advisory Board and our standards is that I communicate directly with the board on a regular basis. Normally in the fall, I present our activities of the prior fiscal year. So that is the portion of my presentation that I'm going to focus on.
Okay, and before you begin, Danielle, mm-hmm. let me introduce you properly.
Oh, sorry.
Danielle has been the Director of Internal Audit for more than 4 years and a member of the NIU Internal Audit staff since 1995. She reports directly to President Baker. Danielle is a certified internal auditor, a certified information systems auditor, and a certified public accountant. She leads the internal audit function at NIU, which includes overseeing 4 full-time staff auditors and 1 part-time staff auditor. Danielle, please continue.
Thank you. As I said, one of the requirements of my standard, there's 2 requirements that I want to make sure I cover of the standards that I'm obligated to adhere to. And the first one is that I report to the board on a regular basis and confirm our continued independence from our internal audit staff perspective. So I'd like to take this opportunity to assure you that we continue to be independent of university operations. We have no operational duties and we make no decisions from the university's perspective. Although we advise management, we do not make decisions. So our independence is intact. Another communication that I'm required to give to you is a recap of the prior fiscal year activities. Normally that's done at this meeting because the fiscal year has been completed, and state statute requires that I provide an annual report by September 30 to the president. So this is the first opportunity after that point. So Janice, if you want to go to the next slide. Our fiscal year 13 audit plan started with 16 audits. And go ahead and advance if you would. There were four additional audits that were requested by President Peters at the time, and that is something that is covered by the Fiscal Control and Internal Auditing Act, that is something that is not only encouraged, but something that I then have to act upon. So four audits were added based on a request from President Peters. One audit was added as a result of the signing of Public Act 97-1055. That statute requires that all state agencies who submit a gap package and or financial statements to the comptroller's office to have their internal audit departments perform an annual internal audit of the process for preparing the gap package and the financial statements. So we added that audit after our audit plan is approved in before the end of the fiscal year or before the beginning of the fiscal year. So by June 30, our plan is already approved. Well, this public act passed in August. So we did not have it on our plan yet, and so I added that. One audit that was on our plan was determined to be better split into two audits. It was really a comprehensive look at an area, and it ended up being better split into two audits, one related to a system upgrade and one related to their actual cash handling operations. So that increased our audit count. Because of all this, four of our audits that were remaining on our plan were moved to future years. And that leaves a total of 18 audits that we worked on during fiscal year 2013. I want to mention that this is quite an accomplishment, and I appreciate the hard work and dedication of the staff that I have. As Chair Boy presented, that I have four full-time and one half-time, but one of those full-time just came on board 2 weeks ago, so he didn't count in the 2013 statistics. But during the 2013 fiscal year, I had one staff member that was on extended leave for more than 90% of the year. In addition, two other members of our staff were on intermittent leave. So these leaves really had a significant impact on presence of actual warm bodies in our office. So I commend my staff for their hard work and dedication during this time, because it was really putting their nose to the grindstone and getting all these audits completed in a timely manner. That is my presentation of fiscal year 2013 activities. And I will...
Questions?
Yes.
Is there any reason you can't tell us, report to the committee, what the four audits that were added and what the 16 audits were?
Go ahead, and Janice, and advance to my last slide because it's my colorful slide. But as part of my presentation that I'm not covering, roles and responsibilities, one of the things that I was planning to disclose is that our work product and documents are not public records, and they're not FOIable. So I cannot speak about them in a public format. However, if anybody has any specific questions, I'd be happy to address them on a one-to-one basis and answer any questions at that time.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good. Anyone else?
If the audits that are conducted are not available, or we shouldn't talk about it in a public forum, is this a closed discussion item?
No. It's not about the Open Meetings Act, and this conversation here isn't in relation to any of the exceptions for closed sessions on the Open Meetings Act. But Danielle was speaking to, and actually Danielle and I had talked about this issue. of whether her records then as an audit are protected from FOIA, and they are. There's explicit exemption in FOIA to where if she reveals her actual audit documents in a public setting, she would waive the exemption under FOIA. That is the reason why she is doing that. Attorneys and auditors in the same exception, our records are exempt from FOIA, but if we make them available to the public in some other mechanism, that exemption is waived.
So we only get visibility to the results of audits and actually the details of that audit if there's an exception that's put on the table here. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that her entire reports are protected. Now, as she gives reports in a setting like this, she can, in consultation with the president, determine the appropriate pieces of information that can be revealed. Because then we are taking the steps to waive our exemption in relation to that information, but not exempting the entirety of her records.
And I'd like to point out that in addition to that, on an annual basis, myself and every member of my staff complete a confidentiality statement that we will not discuss audits outside of the person or area that we are directly working with. And therefore, I would have to consult with General Counsel's office to make sure that I'm still protected because there are specified restrictions and ramifications listed in that annual statement.
Let me just try to be clear, if I understood you properly earlier. If Trustee Wheeler, after this meeting, wants to see a specific audit report privately, does he have the ability to talk to you and see that?
And this is another part of my presentation that I was not able to present, and that is that all of our audit reports are addressed directly to President Baker, and they are made available to the Board of Trustees members upon request and others that are required by state statute or regulatory or statutory requirements, whatever the requirement may be that we have to provide it, but they are always available to the Board of Trustees, and I do know that we get, Bill is now, used to be Kathy, but now Bill receives those requests and we forward those reports on a regular basis. I think almost every report that I issue gets requested, so.
Okay, so we'll,
someone's you, reading them.
Yeah. So if you choose at the end of this meeting,
let me say this. When I think about our responsibility for oversight, part of that is understanding specifically the outcomes of some of these audits. And what I'm hearing is that in order for me to understand the outcome of these audits, I've got to do a one-off to get that information. And that means all eight of us should be having a one-on-one with Danielle to get this information, because our duties require us to understand what is going on.
Right.
I think there's a problem here. I see a fundamental problem.
What Trustee Wheeler just said, is that correct?
I would say that I have addressed questions as they've been presented to me, so I know that if anyone gets a copy of the report as they're issued, or I think most often the chair of this committee on a monthly basis usually gets a copy of our monthly activities report, and it lists on there all the audit reports that have been issued during the month. It lists the audits that are in progress, and once that happens, that's usually when that's the catalyst for request for copies of the report. And then if there's a question, then I field that at that time. So I don't know, and it may be something like you're saying, maybe reports need to go.
So maybe I can help.
Okay.
On this.
Thank you.
I am one of the people who gets the summary, and I'm one of the people who routinely asks for all the issued reports. From Wheeler's question, he is apparently not getting the monthly report, and therefore he has been unable to ask for the issued audit reports. And I think it might make sense if there's no legal prohibition on doing it, send a notice out to all of the members and let them determine what it is they would like to read and what they don't want to read, and then everybody will be on the same playing field. So I didn't know who was getting what when or who wasn't, but I have been getting them, and the chair of the committee has been getting them, the chair of the board has been getting them, so there is at least a partial dissemination of that information. I think that'd be an easy solution to put it in everybody's hands.
Will?
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. I wasn't going to name any names, but I knew that there were some individuals that were requesting them.
Right.
Please add all their names.
And I'll work with Bill to navigate how exactly we'll go about making that change.
So can I understand then that Mark's request is that each board member receive the summary, and then the board member may request one or more of the completed audits on the summary?
That's what I heard Mark
That's
say.
That's the request?
Right, because there may be board members that don't want to read the full report.
Right, precisely. But if each board member automatically receives the summary, or each board member asks for the summary, which way is it,
I think we could the summary and then request the reports if you want.
Each board member, if you send each board member the summary, and then they in turn can decide what is it that they want to take and ask you for the information.
Yeah. Bill? If I may, currently, as it was pointed out by Danielle, the board as a whole has not been receiving the monthly audit report, which just lists, for those who haven't been getting it, by title, the audits that have been done. But if that is sufficient at this point.
And those in progress.
And those in progress. So I think that would be sufficient to pique your interest or to encourage you to want to explore further. And I'll be more than happy upon request then to send you a full copy of each of those reports you'd like to see.
And if there are any questions, I absolutely have no problems answering any questions that you have about any audits that are in progress or reports that have been issued.
Okay. Any other questions? Wheeler?
I do have one other question.
Yeah, please.
You mentioned that there was an advisory component. Do you have a list of when you're providing advisory services to the institution?
Well, there's two. In addition to audit service or assurance services, we provide consultation services as well. That can take on roles anywhere from us being one, myself, in a lot of cases, or a member of my staff being a member on a committee. And we sit at the table and raise internal control concerns as we're progressing through. It could be a system implementation. It could be a system upgrade. Those are two good examples of committees that we are actively participating on ongoing. And also, it can be a consulting advisory role that, recently I've had a department contact me and said, hey, we're going through some changes. We want to make sure that we maintain the proper internal controls as we restructure. Can you consult with us and let us know if we've made sure we've got proper segregation of duties, et cetera. So it's very, it can range from a very ad hoc, very short, to something ongoing, so.
Any other questions, discussions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I look forward to being able to give you my full roles and responsibilities next time.
And we'll save for the other part of the presentation for next time around to finish up, okay? Thank you very much. All right, the next meeting will be after we have the approval of the 2014 board meeting schedule. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Trustees, mind just staying in your seats and moving right to the meeting?
To the next meeting.
Yeah, you can just hand me the gavel. Not that it's critical that it be a gavel. I could use my hand. Is that appropriate, or does anyone want to take a break?
Go for it.
That's fine.
All right. I believe it is within my authority, since this meeting was scheduled for 1:30, to call this meeting to order. Ms. Bank Wilkins, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Robert Foy. Here. Trustee Wheeler Coleman.
Here.
Trustee Anthony Iasco. Trustee Robert Marshall.
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir. Trustee Mark Strauss.
Here.
Student Trustee Elliot Eccles.
Here.
Chair John Butler.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brady, will you please verify that appropriate notification of this meeting was made?
Appropriate notifications have been made by the university.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the meeting agenda?
Move.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. There's a discussion item.
Yes. Are there two items on the agenda still, or are there more?
No, there are four items on the agenda. My apologies. I also asked for this agenda this morning. Do all board members have a copy of the agenda?
I have one with
two items on it. Excuse me. A and B.
One is on its way. My apologies.
I just want to make sure we're all dealing with the same agenda.
Yes, we have four action items.
Okay, I got O.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll give the trustees a moment to review the agenda. And then I'll ask if there's any discussion.
I have nothing further.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, we'll move to the chair's comments. I have about four or five pages of written comments to read. No, all I really do want to say on behalf of my colleague, Trustee Muir, she said to me that she had an appointment and just had to go. I already knew about that. She's very sorry. She also wanted me to tell Trustee Voy that she was sorry that she couldn't stay for your committee meeting. I will do that. This is the time in the meeting when we ask our representatives from the University Advisory Committee if they have any comments. Professor Rosenbaum?
Oh, sorry, Helen.
I actually have two comments. One is in response to a comment that was made earlier in the day at the FFO meeting, and that is that while I appreciate the board's sensitivity to raising tuition and fees, I think it's only part of the story to suggest that the budget's balanced on the backs of the students, when in fact faculty and staff at NIU are in the lower quartile salary-wise. And so I'd like the board to remain mindful of that, that the faculty and staff are also in part bearing the burden of the university's budget. And the second point is that while I also appreciate the importance of focusing our efforts on programs that are very popular, that it's not simply a matter of exchanging one program for another, but there are other ways of perhaps funding the more popular or more active programs, and that would also involve looking at the university as a whole and perhaps considering the administrative levels of hiring. And so it's not simply a matter of saying some programs are attracting students and we should support those and others are not. So thank you.
Thank you, Professor. Do any of the trustees have any responses or questions for Professor Rosenbaum?
Trustee Coleman. I do have a response. And,
sure.
And first of all, I appreciate those comments. And I will say this, that the point I was trying to make was that we all have to make equal sacrifices to find a way to grow this institution. And the sacrifices that the professors make and faculty members make for this institution is great. We know that, right? Just like other people that have made sacrifices for the institution. And when I talked about in terms of increasing the revenue to cover some of our expenses, traditionally it has been a role of us raising fees and raising tuition to try to cover some of the expenses, and you're right, we very seldom talk about the lack of salary increases or maybe even benefits that are being foregone by, you know, professors and administrators alike. One point that I was clearly trying to make was that as an institution, for us to get the target that was put out for 2020, we're all going to have to make sacrifices and commitments to make it, and some of that is doing business differently than the way we currently do it. And so that's the comment that I had there.
No, I appreciate that comment. I just was sort of completing the picture, and sometimes that other part is left out of the formula, that it appears as though the concern is mainly for, you know, students and student fees. And, you know, I think I just wanted to point out that faculty and staff sometimes just need a little bit of attention in that regard as well.
I appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other comments, responses, questions for Professor Rosenbaum? Seeing none, I have no further comments, so I will ask Mr. Brady if there's been any requests to make comment from the public.
No such requests have been made.
In that case, I'll move immediately to President's Report number 87 and turn the table over to President Baker.
Thank you. We've got four items for vote today, and I think we can go through these fairly quickly. The first one is the IHSA State Football Championship ticket agreement. And as you know, we're going to play it in Husky Stadium, and that's a wonderful thing, and it's bringing a lot of commerce to the community and a lot of fundraising activities. I've been an awful lot of events around Sycamore and DeKalb where they're raising money to pay for the expenses for this. In partnership with the DeKalb County Community Foundation, they'll be hosting this event. And the year marks the beginning of a commitment to host the state football championship every other year out through 2021. The University of Illinois will continue to host games in Champaign on the alternate years, and this agreement covers the transfer of ticket revenues to the IHSA for the 2013 game. The DeKalb County Community Foundation has been engaging in fundraising and doing a pretty good job of it. They've hit me up a few times. So the university requests Board of Trustees approval of the expenditure of authority for fiscal year 14 as follows, and not to exceed $400,000.
There's a motion to approve the motion. There's a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Professor Strauss. Trustee Strauss.
I don't know. Dr. Rosenbaum may have something to say about that. The question I have, which I don't expect an answer on today, is that the board has never seen any of the other financial arrangements with respect to the university's support of this enterprise. And at the appropriate time, I'd like to see a summary of what our commitment financially has been, what the expenses are, and then whether we expect this is going to be a sort of self-sustaining enterprise or one that we would have to continue to support.
Who wants to do it? Steve or Bill?
I could just give you a very, I've been on the steering committee for about a year and a half. The bid originally submitted to the IHSA and accepted involved us returning all the ticket money. That was not a wild-eyed offer as part of our bid. That had been a tradition apparently in Champaign. That meant that the costs, which are estimated to be around $250,000, for this year and presumably every year after, had to be raised either from local funds or regional funds or in part from the university sources or other sources. The steering committee and more specifically the independent body known as IHSA Destination DeKalb, which has a tax exempt status, has the obligation of raising the money to cover what is mostly university costs, which would be costs for security, costs for cleanup, really four game days on Friday after Thanksgiving, four game days on Saturday after Thanksgiving, so eight games altogether. Right now we have raised the $250,000 through local funds. Your question is well taken, though. What happens in 2 years? There is an implicit, at least, obligation on the part of the university if for some reason there is a shortfall, because we are one of the sponsors in the bid that was accepted. So in the future, we will keep you informed of any other agreements or requirements that come up from a financial standpoint or any other way.
I would appreciate just being kept advised. Thank you.
Do the trustees have any questions or statements on this motion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. President Baker.
Thank you, Chair Butler. The next item is the official appointment of Interim Chief Financial Officer. As you know, we've found Nancy Suttenfeld, and I think you've all seen her CV. She comes to us with tremendous experience as a CFO, most recently at Wake Forest, prior to that at University of North Carolina, prior to that at Case Western Reserve, and prior to that at the Smithsonian Institution. So it's quite a pedigree. She's worked in the public and private sectors. I think she'll really help us pull together a budget and a budget model that we're all interested in, so we're allocating our resources to the highest need in the university. This is to approve her contract. We wanted to get her through September. We'll start a search, as you'll see very soon, another item's to hire a headhunter to begin that search. But we wanted to get her through the fiscal year, get the books closed, and then have a handoff period so she could help get the next person up to speed. So that's why it goes out that far. So we'd request that the board approve me to authorize to enter into that agreement. And the company we're working with is this headhunter company that has a stable of executives, so we're entering into the relationship with them because they hold her in their stable.
Is there a motion? There is a motion. Is there a second? There is a second from Trustee Boy. Is there any discussion on this matter? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes. President
Baker. Thank you. The next item is the hiring of executive search firm. We'll do this for two back-to-back positions, the first being the Vice President Provost. As you know, Lisa has taken on this position of Executive Vice President Provost on an interim basis. We need to get on with a search if we're going to do it this year. The job market is out and running already. We're probably a half a step behind and need to get going. There are search procedures that Al and I have been talking about that are constitutionally mandated in the university regulations, so we need to get going and move on that quickly. We think at this level, for this kind of person, we do need a headhunter to get us a good pool, and so we'd recommend that a firm be selected from the list of pre-qualified search firms and seek approval to do that.
There's a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any discussion on this item? Trustee Strauss.
I just have a question of Mr. Brady. Is there any explicit finding that's required under the statute? It's not to be a trick question either. No, I don't have recall of it.
Exactly. I don't remember.
It just has to come to us for approval, but there's no specific criteria that
Correct.
Has to be met.
Correct.
Thank you.
Are there other questions or comments on this motion? Seeing none, all those in favor? Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes. President Baker.
And the final item is the hiring of an executive search firm to help us with the chief financial officer search. And again, I've given you the background on Nancy and the time that she'll be here, and we need to get going on this position so we can get a good person in. So again, I'd recommend and ask for approval by the board that we'd be allowed to hire a search firm from the pre-qualified list to help us with this particular search.
I move to approve.
All right. There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes. President Baker, that completes your report.
It does. Could I have just one comment?
Absolutely.
Over the last month, we've conducted workshops at the university with faculty, staff, students, alumni, and community members. We've talked about the future of the institution. We've talked about what our priorities are. We've talked about student career success as the keystone goal and the pillars under it of community, thriving communities, and building a budget and a budget model. And one person has helped design and execute those to a huge extent, and that's Ron Walters. And I wanted to recognize Ron for his tremendous work over the last few months helping me get this presidency off to a good start, and also in helping us get to a cultural tipping point with people excited about where we're going and actually being charged with going out and solve the problems themselves. So, Ron, I just want to recognize you and thank you. And that's my comment.
Thank you. Ron, welcome to the Board of Trustees meeting. You were at a prior special meeting, so, but good to see you. Is there any other matters to come before this board? The next meeting of this board is its regular meeting in DeKalb on December 5th, at which point we will also be approving the calendar for meeting dates going into 2014. I appreciate very much the board's patience through four meetings of the board standing committees and staying for a special meeting. I know we're all very busy. I will point out that in my internal private communication with trustees, I said we'd probably end by about 3 o'clock. So I'm not too far off, but I admit that's because of some cutting of content and so forth. Again, I appreciate everyone's time. It's been a long day, so I will take a motion to adjourn. There's a motion, there's a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned.